Hey, listen, folks, right here at Right Side, we have told you all along that we have what we call the mission and the message, all right? It's why we do what we do and how we do it. And the mission is always going to be that we will educate, enlighten, empower, and entertain you on what it means to be a conservative and a Christian walk around in today's crazy world. That's the mission, but the mission is driven by the message. And the message is that you will always hear this show say that Jesus is Lord, America is great, life is worth living. And that's why it just resonates with our audience. That being said, there's somebody coming on right now who gets that and who gets it like in a big way. Kirk Cameron, he's known for his role in the 80s and 90s on TV's Growing Pains, won 2 Golden Globes for that. Time on the big screen, he's an author, a speaker, a producer. He's a family man, he and his wife Chelsea, 6 kids. But he's also become known in more recent times as a warrior for Christ. I mean, he loves the Lord, makes no bones about it. He's got a great mission right now to reawaken Christians, to equip them for life in general. And so I'm going to quit talking right now and say, hey, Kirk Cameron, welcome to Right Side Radio. How are you?
What's up, brother? Great to see you. Thanks for having me on the show again. It's always good to be on the right side. I'd rather not be on the wrong side. I'm still learning. So thanks again for having me on. Look forward to our discussion.
No, absolutely. Thank you. And I'll just go ahead and say, too, thank you for what you stand for, because I know that in the industry that you grew up in, not everybody takes a stand for their faith. And you often hear that there's more conservatives in Hollywood than you would ever believe, but they just don't always show up and say so. And so I'll just tell you right now, I appreciate it.
Well, thank you. I learned from the leftists and the progressives. They take a stand for their faith. They have a whole different faith. It's called secular humanism. And it leads us right into communism, socialism, all these types of isms. And they do a really good job of playing the long game. They've set up their blasphemy laws. You can't say anything derogatory about certain groups of people. You can't question their God, which is the government. And frankly, they often do a much better job than the Christians do of standing for their faith. But I'm feeling the rumblings of revival in this country of those who really love the Lord Jesus, and they recognize the biblical principles that will lead to our liberty and to our protection and blessing for our kids. And so I'm really excited to be standing shoulder to shoulder with this loving army of compassion that's regaining courage to stand for their faith.
No, absolutely. And I'll be honest with you, I think some of the isms they bring really just create schisms if you get down to it. I mean, the division in our society, especially over the last few years, has been very pronounced. And so one of the things I want to talk to you about is you've gotten really busy here of late with a new tour you've got called Strong Families, Strong Communities, because the left wants our kids and the left wants our families and the left wants to tear down traditions and values and faith for that matter. Tell us about this tour, because I do know for a fact you're coming through my town.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I hope I get to see you. It's called Strong Families, Strong Communities. And if I've learned something important through the COVID years and through all of the challenges that we faced culturally over the last 4 years, it's that if you want to change a nation, you've first got to be able to change your state. If you want to change your state, you've got to learn how to govern your community. If you want to be able to heavenize your community, you've got to be able to heavenize your home. And you can't heavenize your home if you can't govern your own heart and its passions. So I believe that God's strategy, the time-tested, historically proven strategy for bringing blessings from heaven to earth begins with strong families leading to strong communities, and then those communities linking arms can begin to transform the culture from the inside out, from the bottom grassroots all the way up to the top, from your house to the White House. And that's what we're going to be talking about every night in 20 cities and 20 churches across America.
Now, that's huge. And it's like, I can't tell you how many times I've said on this show that what happens in your own backyard sometimes has more impact on what happens in your life than what happens in D.C. or anywhere else. We forget sometimes that the truth of local leadership and family strength. And that's why they call it grassroots politics, because grassroots actually makes a difference.
Yeah, you're so right. You're so right. Do you think that the Christian church just skipped that class over the last couple of decades? Because the radical leftists, boy, they're drilling down deep on that class, and they understand community organizing. They understand about playing the long game, not just a quick spurt of energy every 4 years when the election rolls around, but doing the trench work day in and day out every year.
They have, and they message so much better. And I'll be honest with you, I think that they have grabbed hold of it. Like you said, I think they've grabbed hold of it so much quicker than folks on the conservative right, the Christian right did. And I don't have an explanation for that. It's just one of those things that they saw it first. I can look at Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and he basically said, grassroots is
Ooh.
where it's at. And yeah, so.
There you go. Well, hey, listen, if you're listening to us right now and you've not heard of that before, that's a boy, that's like a dog whistle for communists. Saul Alinsky, Rules for Radicals. There's a pastor, a faithful man named Doug Wilson, who wrote kind of a retort to that called Rules for Reformers, which is taking a spin
Nice.
on every one of Saul Alinsky's rules. And it's what we ought to be doing to bring heavenly transformation to our society rather than demonic transformation.
I just wrote it down. Rules for reformers.
Yeah,
That's huge.
that's right.
Well, listen, man, I think the progressive left has been like on a feeding frenzy over the last few years. I mean, there was a time when, I mean, I don't think there's ever been a time in world history when there haven't been people who would have, ill intent with regards to kids. But it's almost as if it's become blatant and accepted now in so many circles. And the idea that the left, like I said, a feeding frenzy, they do want our kids. They do want our families. Talk to us also, not just about your tour and about building families and community, but also you've got a brand new kids show coming out, and I'm now a grandparent. I'm at that phase in life, and I'm looking at my grandkids and thinking I want more stuff that I can know that I trust that they're watching. What's that
Yeah.
about?
Yeah. Well, first, let me just say a quick w a word about the way that we're viewing things. We got to be careful. Sometimes we wonder, like, how is it that the right and the left can argue over the same things and they both be so convinced that they're right? And many of the best arguers and debaters are not stupid on either side. They're really bright people. The problem is, it's all about what your true north is morally and spiritually. C.S. Lewis had a great quote where he said, "Education without values tends to make man a more clever devil." Think about that. Education without values tends to only make man a more clever, educated, smarter devil. And so this idea of the left having a feeding frenzy on our children, coming after our children, well, of course, they could say the same thing about us. They could say, you're trying to evangelize your children from a very young age, put them in Christian schools, put them in conservative schools. You are going after the kids just as much as the left is. And in fact, we are. The difference is we want to feed them truth, goodness, and beauty. We want to feed them that which is going to lead to their blessing. Whereas the radical left, at least those who recognize what they're doing, they're looking for the government to be fed by the children, so you indoctrinate them to become your minions, your servants, and that's what public schools end up being all about. So everybody wants to get to the kids, the good guys and the bad guys, and that's why God put children in the hands of parents, not governments. Moms and dads are to be trusted with children. Moms and dads who take God's commands, put them into their own hearts, as Moses told the people of Israel, and then they teach them diligently to their children, day in and day out. If you outsource your parenting to public schools and governments, even to churches, you've essentially sold your children and your future to those who don't have your best interests in mind. So, having said that, I want to invest in our children and a future that is just filled with freedom and blessing. So I'm leaning into children's television programming. We have a brand new show coming out. It's called Iggy and Mr. Kirk. Think of classic television with a modern day Mr. Rogers meets a whole colorful cast of lovable puppets like Sesame Street. And it's
Yeah.
Bible friendly and faith forward. It's TV shows that are actually good for kids that parents can trust. And it teaches them clear moral lessons. It's about real live events that actually help their cognitive development. It's been designed to be developmentally healthy for children to watch as it matures their hearts and their minds.
That's so. Listen, I got to ask you, did you ever think back in the days when you started out on, you know, like Growing Pains and others, that you'd be doing a kids show at some point?
I didn't. You know, when you're 15 years old, you're just obsessed with being an adult. And so you want to get to the adult stuff. Now that I'm a grandfather, I'm looking at what I can do to leave behind a library of movies and television shows and messaging that is going to help lead future generations to the promised land of God's
yeah.
blessing.
Yeah, that's so cool. So I take it you're the Mr. Kirk in the show.
That's right. How'd you catch?
Yeah, did you, you're going to come in and change out and put on your comfy sweater and your comfy shoes, as like Mr. Rogers used to do?
You know,
I was a huge fan of Mr. Rogers when I was a kid.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't love Mr. Rogers? And we need him now more than ever
with
all of the bent and twisted, toxic things that kids are being force fed through Disney and Nickelodeon and other things. So Mr. Kirk has a leather jacket rather than a cardigan sweater, and he's got some leather boots rather than some sneakers. But I do take it off when I come into the house and put it back on when I leave. And there are serious Mr. Rogers vibes all throughout this adorable, imaginative, good for kids TV show.
As there should be. Well, and you said something a minute ago, right before you started talking about the show itself. And it sparked a memory. Scripture says, in thinking themselves wise, they had indeed become fools. I mean, there's a mode in society right now that wants to retool science, retool gender, retool anything and everything to fit a leftist agenda. But the reality is, one of the differences, and you touched on this, is they're our kids. You can look at even the school choice arguments these days, and you can see that if someone truly believes in the best for a child, they're going to lean towards what is best for the child and not for the school system, not for the government institutions, not for the zip codes being what binds you there. And that's because they're our kids and we want what's best for them. Our tax dollars should go to what's best for the kids, not the system. The decision point should be with the parents or legal guardians, not the system. And what you're also putting out there is you're providing an option for parents to be able to make a decision about what is best for their child to watch and to gain from.
Yeah. Well, your worldview is showing. Your bias is showing.
Fancy that.
And that's true of everybody when they say things like, well, these are our kids. China doesn't think that the five-year-olds in China are the parents' kids. They think they're the government's kids. See, this is a worldview issue. These comes down to rock bottom assumptions about who owns what. And Jesus made statements to help us. You know, when he was asked about paying taxes to Caesar, he said, give to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, but give to God the things that belong to God. And as Christians, because of the word of God, we understand that our children belong to God, not to Caesar. So again, these things sound like common sense, but that's because we live in America. We live in a Christian constitutional republic.
Yeah. Right.
And we recognize these truths, but it's up for debate and it's up for grabs if we kick God out of the public square, out of public schools, out of the courthouse, and out of government. This is not the plan that the founders gave us. The founders gave us a plan that relies on moms and dads, pastors, educators, raising up the next generation with the principles of Christianity. And I could give you plenty of quotes from Noah Webster and others regarding this, but the Pilgrims understood it, the founders understood it. Everybody who is a true biblicist understands that the strategy has never changed. You start with self-government, then you're into marriage and family government, You go from the family out to the community. You educate your children and the next generation, and you provide quality people to run your churches and to run your civil government. And you punish evil and you protect the good. If we don't do that plan that way, the whole thing gets turned upside down and you lose it. Just look at Europe.
Oh, absolutely. And listen, at the risk of free ranging for a minute, I mean, I think that I've said more than once, when Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, it was also an acknowledgement that he knows that government exists and there's nothing wrong with government actually existing. It's the manner in which it exists that makes a difference. And government was never designed to supplant the family or to subordinate the faith. The reality is government can be God ordained, but it has to also be God filled.
Yeah, well, brother, I'll meet you that, and I'll raise you 10 cents and say that Jesus made government. It's not no only doubt. It can be good, it is good, and God gave it to Noah right after the flood to keep evil in check. And Moses instituted it in the fashion of a genuine republic before the monarchy with the kings, where the people would elect leaders of character and faith and judges to govern over 50s and hundreds and thousands. I mean, that's what our founders understood, is that civil government is necessary while sin and evil continues to roam the earth. And that's why it's so important that we get our children back to biblical principles. If we don't, we're left with somebody else's principles, and it'll either be Islam or Marx, or it'll be, you know, some sort of fake system that it purports to be religiously neutral or secular, which is impossible. Somebody's values are going to reign supreme. So I want to be on the right side. I want to use media to advance good messages and tell good stories. And that's why I'm excited about guys like you and so many others around the country right now who are beginning to stand up. They're opening up their eyes, opening up their ears, and they're spreading the message, and people are paying attention.
Absolutely, man. Well, let me ask you this too. So I did some study today to get ready for the show. I always resource the show heavily. I'm spending time with you right now. And so of course I had to look into some of the latest news reports about you and things like that. The liberal media is not your fan. And newsflash, but I read through it. You have already proven you could care less what they will say about you as long as the mission is still God ordained and you're following your calling. And I know that. But let me ask you this. In the middle of the pushback, though, are you still finding that there's a hunger from folks on the conservative right, the Christian side of our culture, that want exactly what you're putting out?
Oh, heck yeah. By the way, they're not liberal in the classic sense, because liberal in the classic sense means that you're open-minded.
That's right.
Maybe that's an oversimplification, but they're not open-minded to Christians like me. They kick me out of their public libraries if I'm not, lining up with their messaging. So the whole DEI and inclusivity message is so hypocritical, it's unbelievable. They exclude Christians and conservatives from their places. The second part of your question, or maybe this was your question, is, am I seeing people in the conservative Christian area who are hungry, even in the midst of the pushback of these against these values?
Right.
Oh, man. The 50 woke libraries that denied me access to read a book about faith, hope, and love changed course when I went on the news and said that this is unconstitutional. And when I showed up, they said nobody would come. There were 3,000 parents and grandparents at the first library and thousands more in Los Angeles, D.C., New York, San Francisco, Seattle, Phoenix, Dallas, Atlanta. When we show up, people come out of the woodwork because they want to be on the good side. They don't want this to become a post-Ten Commandments culture. They want the values that are going to lead to their kids' blessing and their protection. Yeah. And they're there by the millions. And we saw that in the election. Landslide victory. To be honest with you, I was surprised. I figured with the radical leftists having 4 more years to perfect theft and deceit and so much else. We could go on and on about that. I was shocked that they didn't seal the deal and there wasn't, you know, some other silver bullet that would have ensured a victory. And I can only look to God and say, God, you have shed your mercy upon us by giving us an opportunity now for 4 more years of air cover at the government level so that we, as God's loving army of compassion, who love children, who love families, who love this country, and who love God, can do the groundwork that needs to be done in our families and in our communities to restore this nation, to make Jesus and the Bible great again, and to extend blessings to people who want to come to this country legally.
No, you nailed it. I mean, I could spend all day on that last couple of minutes there, but let me just say this. Something you said in there sparked a thought. I've said on my show multiple times, I taught a Bible study years ago, and one of the lines in the Bible study stuck with me forever, and it was that as goes the king, so goes the country, meaning that leadership can set a tone. And I feel like what we have seen in recent years has been a tone that was set up here is what opened the door for so much that we had to wade through as a society and are still trying to wade through in many ways. But I feel like at the same time, we've just been given, and you said it, something to the extent of we've been given this air cover. We've been given this new opportunity. It's a freshness that we have right now to move forward. I think you're smack in the middle of it. Your tour is right on the money with the timing. And so what do you sense in terms of the nation with a turning? I heard you say revival a moment ago. What are you seeing in terms of a turning towards culture, conservative policies, leaning towards faith? Tell me about that.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I resonate with everything that you're saying. You know, we can read in the Bible when Solomon went bad, as went the king, there goes the nation.
Yep.
You know, when kings go bad, the nation goes bad. When you get a good king in there, it tends to lead people back to faith. Now, it's interesting, though, because we could also make the case that as go the nation, there goes the king. As go the people, there goes the leadership. And this is unique in the United States of America as a Christian constitutional republic that was modeled after the ancient Hebrew republic before the kings, wherein our Constitution says this is a government of the people, by the people, for the people, and the king is, we don't have a king, actually. We have an elected representative that we call government, and they're there to represent the values of the people. So the sovereign, in our case, is not the king, it's the people. And the people have a responsibility to reject and depose the government if they fail to be ministers of God for the good of the people. That's a revolutionary idea. And so that's what excites me, is as I travel around the country and I'm in churches and schools and talking to mayors and senators and representatives, what I'm finding is that the people are grabbing a hold of this concept again and saying, we need to hold our leaders accountable. And if we, the people at the grassroots level, can do the right thing, then so goes the nation.
Yeah,
that's the way that we're set up. Yeah. Not for this to be run from the top down. That's what China does. That's what Hitler did. That's what the bad communists and the socialists and the oligarchies and the aristocracies do. God's way is from the bottom up. It transforms the heart at the house level and through the community level, from your house to the White House, bottom to top, wholesale revival. That's what gets me really excited.
Well, man, you guys kicked it off. So your tour is underway right now, and you've already been in multiple cities, if I'm not mistaken, and you got multiple more lined up. Am I correct in saying your tour kicked off earlier this month, I believe, didn't it? Last week, maybe?
Yeah, we're on night number 5 right now.
Yeah.
We're in Virginia, and it's beautiful outside. We're going to be heading down south again, and we've got about another 15 churches to go, and we're going to be seeing y'all pretty soon.
Yeah, you are. March 7th, you'll be down this way. Been going good so far?
Oh, it's been going good. And did you notice I used the word y'all in a sentence? I'm
good
a California guy. So this is new. This is a new word in my lexicon. I'm trying my best to make it sound natural. There's a few I don't think I'll ever incorporate, like fixin' and might could and yins and stuff like that. But y'all get ready, because we're going to have a great time when we come to your city.
That's perfect, man. And listen, I spent a brief sojourn in California, lived out in Laguna when I was a kid. It was the
I'm
part of the
so
thing that
sorry. It's such an ugly place.
it was part of what drove me to Jesus, just to be honest. But then God sent me to a 3-year timeout. My dad was in the military. We lived overseas, and I was away from everything that I got into when I was in California. But no, Alabama's home, and y'all fits just fine right here. So thank you very much. Hey, and listen, Kirk, if folks want to be ready, not just for the tour, because you're going to be in Alabama, in Gadsden, Alabama, on March 7th, and we'll publish that information and we'll make it known to our audience, and I'm sure your folks will be
Yeah, please
publicizing it
come. Get
too.
tickets. Come on.
Absolutely,
We're going to
absolutely. They can
worship.
go.
It's an exciting night of inspirational worship. We're going to pray together, and we're going to talk about all of these principles to get ready for America's spiritual and cultural revival. I believe that it's coming, and it comes when we get the right heart and the right mind lined up with God's principles and heroes from history. We can see it again.
Well, and where can folks go right now to get tickets if they want to start looking into the idea of going there?
KirkCameronTour.com. Go to
All right, perfect.
KirkCameronTour.com. And remember, there's VIP tickets as well. So if you want to come in a little bit early and spend an hour just hanging out, talking, it's kind of a meet and greet. There's all kinds of extra tickets that you can get a hold of as well.
All right, perfect. And then I guess one last question. You got that show coming, the TV show. Where are folks going to see it? How's it going to be? Is it streamed? What's going to happen there?
This is a free TV show that you can go to watchbrave.com. Watch, like with your eyes, and brave.com. And that's where you'll see our the first few episodes for free of Iggy and Mr. Kirk. And then they'll also give you opportunities so that you can subscribe and see the whole rest of the season. We've got 20 episodes already complete on subjects like teaching your kids to tell the truth about self-control, the value of family, and faith in God.
That's cool stuff. Well, listen, Kirk Cameron, stay on the fight, brother. Thank you for what you do. We look forward to seeing you in a few weeks here in Alabama. And all y'all, get ready because he's coming. Take care, man.
We're fixing to come real soon.
All right. Take care. Thanks, Kirk.
See ya.